Just listening to a little background jazz of Lonnie Smith. This is PJ in the studio today. And what is today? The 14th. I think it's the 14th or the 15th of March, 2012. Listening to some jazz. My friend Elsie hip me to some nice jazz things on YouTube. And I'm just enjoying Lonnie Smith. Dr. Lonnie Smith. What I'd like to do is I'd like to talk with you today a little bit about some things that have been on my mind lately. And I can't do that unless I fade out the music, as much as I really hate to do it because I love good music. But I do want to talk with you a little bit. So let's listen to a little bit more of this as I get settled in.
Okay.
Hope you can hear it good. Kind of a little background stuff here. Okay. Gonna fade it down because it's about getting this webcast done. Not necessarily listening to some good Hammond organ jazz there. Psalm 24 says that the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Verse 1 of Psalm 24 is a very important verse because it gives us a background of who owns the planet. You know, you hear so much talk about the green planet, the green world, save the dolphins, save the whales, save the birds, save the snakes, save everybody. Wait a minute. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Now, it all belongs to God. Doesn't belong to one individual, doesn't belong to a corporation, doesn't belong to a bank. Doesn't belong to any kind of human entity down here. Then in verse 2 of Psalm 24, it says, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. In other words, God has set the foundations of each country. He has placed in each country the minerals that it takes to give food to its inhabitants. God has done that. Verse 3, now God gives a challenge through the psalmist's pen. He says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? In other words, it's saying, are you bad enough, bold enough? Are you inclined to think that you're going to place yourself before God Almighty Jehovah? Are you out of your mind? Who and what in this? You know what? We like to think of people with money, don't we? If people got a lot of money, they have a lot of power, then they can stand that we honor them. I think about the recent deaths of pop stars and all that and how the nation cries because that voice won't be heard anymore. You know what? You better turn and look what God says. It says, he who has clean hands, verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and is not sworn deceitfully. You know, our banking institutions, our financial institutions, the clowns on Wall Street, all of them raping the money banks, taking everything, giving to the 1%ers and letting the 99%ers lose everything and literally go to hell. We don't know where we're going to be in this country in 10 years. But look at what God says. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. Look what it says in verse 5. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You notice it doesn't say the gods of his salvation because there's only one God. You know, we argue this every semester in philosophy one. I spent an enormous amount of time trying to get over to the youngsters that there is one mover that moves all things, and he's been moving it ever since the day things were moved, and he didn't need anybody to bring him into existence. He exists because he exists. He is God because he is God. I don't give a rat's whatever what anybody says. You may fight it. You may come against it. You may try to lie against it. You may try to do all these things. I got some news for you. PJ got some words for you here. There's one God. His name is Jehovah Elohim. Satan is a lie. That bastard, that Beelzebub beast who destroys men's lives and casts them into oblivion of darkness, the light has shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Excuse me if I get a little vulgar with my language, but when it comes to defending Elohim against Beelzebub, Beelzebub loses, hands down. Listen. Do you know what it says? Verse 6, we're in Psalm 24, verse 6. It says, "This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob." So he's talking about seeking him. The lesson is followed by the affirmation of those who seek after God. And, you know, a lot of people in this country, we seeking after money. We seeking trying to get ourselves out of this pit that we've dug very deep. You know what? I think this is what it is. We have to come back to affirming God. We have to come back to acknowledging him, extolling him, giving him the first place, giving him honor and due respect. I know he's invisible. You can't see him, but you can feel him when he sends a tsunami, can't you? You can feel him when the earth shakes under you. You can feel him when the volcano begins to roar. Can't you feel God? Can't you feel him when you're on an ocean liner and you see a big wave coming towards you and you don't know how to swim? You can feel God then. You can feel him when you get hungry and you really get to feeling the pains and you haven't eaten for about 8 days. You can feel him then, can't you? You can call on him and he's near. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 7. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Do you know what the psalmist is saying in verse 7? He's saying, come on, there's an entry of a king here. The psalmist offers an exhortation in verse 7 and then an explanation in verse 8. Look at the exhortation in verse 7 again. "Lift up your heads, O gates." In other words, he says, lift your heads up and look up to God. See, you're trying to look at the economy. You're trying to look in. Think that that black boy in the White House or that white boy in the Congress house is going to help you out. They can't do nothing. They can't do a dang thing for you, but talk politics and keep you involved in a fool's recital or a fool's game. Look what the Bible says. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." You got to look up to God here. This has always been our plea. This is why we have the Holy Book. The Good Book gives us a resource to go to when we've run out through futility. So that's the admonition or the exhortation. But look at the explanation in verse 8. It says, "Who is the King of glory?" See, verse 8 starts off with with an explanation, because you got to define who you're looking up your head to. See, a lot of times we have these foggy ideas in our mind about who and what God is. We see God as the magic genie that's going to give us a bunch of material stuff, you know, keep our video games going, keep our wide screens bright with light. Last night we had a power outage here on my whole block. Everything went out in the whole area. Went out for about an hour and a half. It was beautiful. You guys should have been here. The Bible study students were en route. I didn't want them to waste gas, and so I called them from my office out in the classroom, and I canceled Bible study to the students on the way. Now, wait a minute. This is my new group of Bible study students. I said, "Looky here. How close are you?" "Oh, I'm about halfway there." "Well, call the other students and tell them not to come out because we got a power outage. And you know what? I don't want to make it inconvenience for you." You know what they did? They called back and said, "We're on the way. We'll meet at your house. And if we can't have Bible study, we'll just all go out and get a bite to eat." Well, since they showed up, blew my mind, because they're the kind of Bible study students I love. I had a little battery power on my laptop, so I couldn't show the PowerPoint. Went out in the classroom, had my laptop. Then I had my iPad here. With the Bible program on it. And so we were in the classroom, in the garage, no electricity, just my laptop. I put that on the screen, and they were all sitting around the table, had their Bibles. I had Richard, one of the Hispanic guys, read the Bible verses that came up, and he was learning my Bible program. We had a great Bible study, stayed there the whole night. About 20 minutes before the Bible study was over, the power came back on. Now, you know the lesson that I learned? We were lifting up our heads, O ye gates, and lift them up to the ancient doors that the King of Glory may come in. And during that Bible study, the Bible study was entitled, Can You Lose Your Salvation? Is it a losable thing? Can you be saved one day and lost the next day? Can you do something to make God literally turn his back on you and hate your guts and throw you into a burning hell if he promised you a blistering heaven? Look at verse 8. Who is the King of Glory? Then he announces him, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Do you know what this is saying to you right now? Do you know what this is saying? David gave an explanation by the question and answer stated that this King of Glory is the Lord who is mighty in battle. The Lord has shown himself to be strong by giving Israel great victories. Why do you think he would not give us great victories? I'll tell you why he won't. Because we have turned our back in unison on the God of our creation. We've turned our back. We believe that, you know, in Mother Nature, as opposed to Father God. We believe in the bankers and the economists that's telling us about. We believe in Obama. Can you believe that? This dude can't even rightly prove whether he's a citizen of this country. Why would you even? I say he can't. He can't. And you know, I'm so sick of the birth certificate, because I know a lot of you worship this cat, especially those of you that are African-Americans, black Negroes, or whatever you want to call yourselves. And I'm not a white boy, so you can't claim that I'm a racist. I love being black. But I'm telling you, I don't be worshiping no clown in the White House. I don't care what color he is. His bowels move like everyone else. He is not to be worshipped, ever. Him nor his beautiful wife and his beautiful children. Don't worship these people. They are nothing but flesh pots. Flesh pots that will die and rot one day. Did you know that when you talk with people that believe that they are gods? And it reminds me of these TV series that they have out, like Rome and Spartacus. And, you know, the rich people live like, I mean, man, they would just use people like fodder. They would kill them, do whatever they wanted to do with them. Well, you know, we're a little bit more civilized now. They kill you with prescription drugs. They kill you with the canned foods that you buy in the supermarkets. They kill you with another kind of death in this country. But let's get back to the text here. I love this. He says, who is the King of Glory? This is God speaking rhetorically through the psalmist. And he says, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And he's not talking about just fighting the enemy on the battlefield. We're talking about fighting the enemy of your mind, because many Americans have given up. And they've given up on God. Once you've given up on God, you've given up on life. God is the one that once made America great. America had good intentions. There was integrity in business. Now, you know what it's about? Let's beat the other guy down before he beats our butt down. Let's take all we can get, can it, and what we can't can, we're going to box that. And what we can't box, we're going to vaporize it. And we're just going to have it making double-dyed money for us. Yeah, but what if it's going to cost the other guy? What if it's going to cost him his life income? Well, forget it. The survival of the fittest. Darwinism works. If we're stronger than him, we got to beat him down. Now our nation is looking at, man, we may be on the verge of racial conflict in this country, where black is going to come against white. We're going to start tearing each other apart. What are you going to do when somebody has a white wife or a black husband? What are you going to do? You're going to kill half the family? What are you going to do with the mulatto children? Because when you look at Obama, he is black, but he is white. Are we that tainted in this country? that we don't understand that human beings are the only things that can mate with each other. We can't mate with dogs and monkeys and any other kind of animal. So Obama's just as human as Bush is. Kind of twisted on some of his ideas, just like Bush was, but one twisted idea doesn't solve the problem of another twisted one. But we are told in verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Why do you think the psalmist repeats it? He repeats it because he's saying you need to look up to God and stop looking up at these totem pole gods that you've made. Then he repeats it again in verse 10. Who is the King of glory? And then he announces him, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, what is this psalmist all about? What is this Psalm 28 all about? You won't know until you get into Psalm 24. You won't know until you begin to read Psalm 25. It says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. See, now the psalmist is responding in like turn. Okay, I'm going to lift my soul up to you. I'm coming to you. I'm going to lay it all on the line for you, O God. If I need something, I'm going to give that to you. If I desire something, I'm going to give that to you. When I was waking up this morning and I was in the bed stretching. I just wanted to stretch. And it felt so good to be alive. No pains in my body. And you guys know that I'm forever thanking God for this surgery that I had a few months ago. And it's like I never even was sick. I mean, it's amazing how God can heal the human body. And while I'm healing on the inside, check this out. I'm 68 years old and my body is still going through the healing processes. I was thinking about how good God is. Because there was nothing that I could do on the inside of this prostate of mine and the urethra going through it and all of the grams of fat prostate taken out through a laser beam. It's amazing what medicine can do. And I am feeling like I never did have that problem. It is amazing. And you know what I do? I thank God every day. Now, I didn't call the doctor that performed the surgery to thank her. I didn't call the hospital. Don't have to do that. I'm paying the monthly bills. They keep asking for all this money, and I just send them what I can, when I can. I thank God for this system that I could do that in, because if they asked for it all at once, I couldn't pay for it. Now, you may be saying, well, how come you didn't have medical insurance? Because my A and B insurance didn't kick in then. So I was just like the other people with no med or nothing. But I thank God that they can take maybe $50 a month and I can pay for it. Thank you for healing me. I'm grateful. I'm not going to get out there and say, I'm not paying anything. I want the government to pay for it. I'm old. I'm black. Okay. I'm 68. I still got to work. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to pay into the system. Why? Because I'm grateful for the system that God has me living in. Look what it says in verse 1 of Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Then he says in verse 2, O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exalt over me. So what do we see in this verse? We see that David is confidently turning to the Lord for divine instruction and forgiveness of his iniquity because of his mercies for Israel. So this psalm is a meditation on the character of God, and it prompts a very humble response to those of us that have lifted up our eyes to the everlasting gates. That is what makes this such a beautiful appeal. I want to move on down. I want you to look at Psalm 25 and verse 4. It says, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Now, this is great here. because the psalmist is saying that he wants to know the way Jehovah wants him to live. He's not looking to what the Democrats say or what the Republicans say or what the liberals or what the conservatives say. He's not looking to what the evangelicals say. He's not looking to what the bishop says. He's not looking to what the religious leaders of the Hindu nation or the apostolic nations or the Islamic nations or all of that say. No. Do you know what he said? I'll read it again. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. See, the psalmist here, he's saying it's not about men. It's not about the Sadducee, the Pharisee. It's not about the Baptist. It's not about the evangelist. It's not about whether he's a male or a female preacher. It's not about all that Tommy rot. It's not about following the dude with the collar or following the dude with the tie. It's not about following them at all. Let me read it again. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. What is my intention? I'm trying to get you to turn your heart towards God. Turn your heart towards the God of the Bible. Now, you know what? I know what you want to do. You want to have a discussion with me about the ontological, the cosmological, the teleological, and all. You know what? You can go to Hades. I'm telling you to turn your heart towards God. See? And I can discuss all that stuff with you. I can discuss it with the rest of them. But that's not important right now. Do you know what our country needs? Our country needs a quick turn directly to God. Each individual must go to him and say, you know what, Lord, maybe I did something to you to offend you, and I'm sorry. Now, how do you do that? Your neighbor's living next door to you, right? And your neighbor's kids give you a bad time. They keep playing football and they keep coming over to your nice lawn that you planted. Every time the boy passes to his friend down the street, he runs across your nice green lawn. You're sick of it because them teenage boys are putting spike jumps in your lawn. Now, you're supposed to be that Christian, right? And the kids are growing because their football team is growing. First, it was two of them playing ball. Now it's six of them running across your lawn. Now you really getting upset. Your wife is on your case because your picturesque lawn and your house don't look the way it used to live. Next thing you know, you got 12 youngsters playing on your next door neighbor's front lawn. But whenever he passes the ball, about six of them youngsters trample on your lawn to try to get the ball and to run it back. They're acting like they got a full 100 yards when they only have about 50 feet. And I'm telling you, it's tearing your lawn up. What's going to be your response to your neighbors when you go next door to tell his son to stay off your lawn? I remember what verse 4 says. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Wait a minute. Doesn't end there. Look at verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Oh, wait a minute. Now you're going to wait on God. And you're not going to go over there and blow your ever-loving top because your lawn is messed up. I'll give you some suggestions. Keep reading. Look what it says. It says in verse 6, remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Now, what about your compassion and loving kindness to your neighbor's kids and his friends down the street? All them rough-shod, heavy-footed teenagers that's making chalk out of your front lawn. See, do you feel the tension now? Because if you say that you follow God, you're going to follow him in every way. You're not going to blow your top. You're not going to call your neighbor's sons any names. Nor are you going to threaten them. Oh, let me give you a true illustration, people. True illustration. I'm pulling up to the college on Monday. I got lucky and I saw one last parking space in the faculty parking. So I zip up in the driveway, cut through the path, and just as I'm pulling in, some young Hispanic student pulls in some old jalopy in the staff parking. He jumps out of the car and I rolled down my window and said, son, I'm staff. You're not staff. What are you doing parking in that place? Well, immediately he ignored me. He said, I got here. I said, you are not staff. You are not allowed to park there. And he said, I have some kind of a West LA College sticker on his car. But I said, but you're not staff. That may be for student parking, but that doesn't. And he said, look, I'm only going to be in there 5 minutes. And I said, son, you're forcing me to move my car. That's for me to park. And my classroom was right in the building, right there. Now, the first thing that came to my mind, because I have my cell phone and I have the Harbor College Sheriff's Department locked into my phone, I was going to call the Harbor College Sheriff and have him come and write this young fella a $75 ticket. I know the student didn't have it. The piece of clunker was riding on clunk. But I looked at it and I said, no, because if I did that and he came out and he had a ticket and then I parked my car there and he saw me in this Lexus, well, I'd probably come out one day after class and my windows would be busted out, or they would have spray painted the side of my car, because that's what a youngster would do to you. But now I want to read verse 6 again. Remember, O Lord, your compassion, your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Now, did I have compassion and loving kindness towards that student that was parked in my parking space, caused me to park, to drive all the way to the other side of the college, to the opposite end of the college, park my car in a parking structure, and walk all the... And I'm old. I'm 68. And that youngster wasn't a day over 19. And he had no respect for me at all. But I know what the Bible said. I'm asking the Lord to remember me with his compassion and loving kindness. I showed compassion and loving kindness to the student by not calling the sheriff and let him illegally park in that place. Would you have done the same thing? Come on, tell the truth. I know. Wait a minute. Look at verse 7. The psalmist goes on and says, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your loving kindness. Remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Now, let me back this up. See, I had to think about when I was young, the sins of my youth. I was a mess. I remember once I took a bunch of guys over to my grandfather's house, who was an old preacher, and we took a six-pack of Olympia beer, went by there. My sister was living there, and we was hoorahing, drinking beer and talking all loud, and my granddad came up, who was a preacher, and I kind of laughed at him. That was before I got saved. I laughed at him and said, look at this old, you want me to say it? I'm going to say it like I said. I said, look at this old ass preacher. That's what I was a mess. I was a mess. My own grandfather. I said that to him. Now, when I read this verse, do not remember the sins of my youth, I'm asking God not to remember me when I was crazy out of my mind. So how could I get that boy a ticket for $75 when he's crazy out of his? See what I'm talking about? The compassion of God becomes compassion in you. And you think about that when you look at other human beings. This is the way a lot of us in this country used to feel years ago about other people when they did us, even when they did us wrong. Now you let somebody cut you off on the freeway, pull a shopping cart in front of you in the supermarket. Have you ever seen them sisters in there? They get to cussing at each other, throwing eggs at each other. Oh, man, please. No. This is when the Bible comes alive. Now, verse 8 tells us why. He says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. Look at that. The Lord is good and upright. Are we good and upright? No. You know what? We toe up. We twist it. That's what we do. And you know what? We need to stop playing with it. Because if we cannot live up to this, then let us stop trying to say that we are God's children. No, we not. We just some kind of heathen spawned all over the planet, spewing our filthy filthy, wretched smell of human disaster everywhere we go. My friends, either we live up to this or we do not. The bottom line is that if we do not live up to this, why do we expect anybody else to live up to it? And you know what bugs me about these Christians? Oh, they talk a good line, don't we? Don't we talk a good line? I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Wait a minute. Why did you call the sheriff and have him write that kid a ticket? Couldn't you have driven your car to the other side of the campus and parked in the structure? You have staff parking in the structure over there, too. Well, this one was right next to my classroom. But he pulled in before you. Yeah, but he needs to get out because that's my space, and I have a master's degree, and I deserve to park there. And he needs to move. I'm John Coleman. Do you know who I am? Professor Emeritus of the Lollipop Union. You're right. You've lost your mind. Look what it says right here in verse 9 of Psalms 25. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. See, are you humble? Is he leading you in justice? Or are you one of them Christians screaming for rights like everybody else, and you out trying to persecute everybody in front of you? You damnable hypocrite. You hypocrite. You bragging on the size of your church. You bragging on that pimp that's robbing the poor people of their money, asking them to build another wing of the building, knowing that you don't even need it because everybody's sick of coming around there listening to that lollygagging lie that they tell. Oh, listen, he says he leads the humble in justice and teaches the humble his way. You can't say that's true for the church today. Verse 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Loving kindness and truth coming from these religious folk that go to church, these damnable hypocrites. Man, you know what? It's no wonder God has turned his back on America. It is no wonder. If you're going to read your Bible, live up to the standard of it, friends. I'm sick of you. And you need to be sick of me when I don't live up to it. And I'm not asking you to try to do what I do, because you got to do what God wants you to do. Some of you got some money, all right? You got some money. You need to go to your local high school, and you need to get an attorney to do this and tell the local high school, I have $500,000 in a trust account, and I want to buy instruments for the high school and bring teaching of music back into the high school into the inner cities. Now, that's what God wants you to do. See, God don't want you to build another wing to the church. He needs the arts back in high school. These youngsters need to play some instruments, make some beautiful music. So these youngsters are not thinking about all this violence out there. Those of you that got the money, that's what God wants you to do. There's some of you that got some money, you can help your community too. You can start a Boys Clean the Street program, buy some push brooms, and get 10 teenage boys and just go from block to block and sweep up and clean up all the gutter and the highways. You can lead these boys doing that and pay them each $35 an afternoon for doing it. Put some money in these teenagers' pocket. Show them how to work in community. Come on now. Looking for these legislatures that you're paying all this money to. Wait a minute, you're paying them suckers $85,000 a year to sit around their conference tables and their microphones and run the citizens out of the communicative process, and they trying to figure out how to do it. I just told you what to do. You got money, invest in brooms. Give the rest of the money to the boys that clean the street. Don't ask for the TV cameras to come out. Clean up your own neighborhood. Do you know how that'll spread? Oh, America, there's a way for us to get back on our feet. Hey, how do we solve the racial tension? I tell you how we solve. No, not sitting around at no conference. Those of you that are white, you got some money, right? You want to come on into the inner city. Just start walking down the street with some of your little white teenage friends, and then let some of the black boys on the block come up and talk to them. Then you take them all to Denny's and buy them all dinner. do that about two or three times a week. I think you solve the racial tension in your community. All based upon this one verse. All the paths of the Lord is loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimony. See, now, if you're trying to keep that, that's what you have to do. God will give you the ideas. Those things just sparked on the top of my head. If I had some money, God doesn't have money coming my way for me to do it. He has me talking to you like this and so that you can do it because you have the money. Some of you that listen to my webcast are very well off with your money, but you stingy with it and you thinking about buying another wing for the church and so you can pat your pastor on his behind and make him feel good when you need to look at how to take care of mess in your community. That's right. That's the way you do it. And look what it says in verse 11. It says, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." And here the psalmist says, you know what? Forgive me, Lord, for not seeing these insightful things to stop the tragedy in my environment. Now, with that, I think I can turn my jazz back on. You know why? Because I've gone through enough. You've heard enough. I wonder now, what are you going to do with Psalm 24 and half of Psalm 25? The psalmist is serious about his situation with God. I'm wondering, are you, the listener to this webcast, are you serious about your relationship with God, and are you ready to be that instrument that he's called you to be? That instrument of humility, truth, trust, righteousness. That is what God is looking for in his children, not just someone wearing the name Christian because it sounds good to them, and when they go to their local church and meet with their friends, they're saying, "Oh, isn't it great that we're Christians?" Not necessarily. Thank you for coming to my website. I really want to thank you for those of you that have taken the time to listen to PJ ramble on about situations in his world. And you see the way I handle the situations in my world, I go to the Word of God, people. Don't play the fool's game of politics because that's not going to work. You need to go to your Bible. Just open it up, see what God is saying to you on a regular basis. You can listen to some sweet jazz in the background. Listen to Lonnie Smith play that organ. My goodness, now when some of you go to the internet and look at Lonnie Smith, he's going to have this head bandana on and he's going to look like a Hindu or something. That's his own personal faith. I don't care what his faith is. He can play a Hammond organ. Not as good as Jimmy Smith, but I like him. Well, listen, what a great webcast. Now I got to get to work in the office. Because I have work to do. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.